Well, good morning. I know a lot of people are traveling and still doing Christmas things. I know the past couple of days you've probably been, enjoying family. I thought dealing with family, some distant family, right? You've been wrapping gifts and cooking meals and cleaning and all the things with Christmas. And I'm so thankful that you're here this morning and you're in town. And coming up this weekend, you know, we talked about we have the New Year's Eve service, and New Year's Eve or New Year's is a time of New Year's resolutions. Maybe you take time to do that or think of things you like to do. I heard about one guy who decided he wanted to make a New Year's resolution that would help him be more happy. That sounds good. Everybody like to be more happy. So he started researching old sayings and things, and he found an ancient proverb that said, "Happy is he who finishes what he starts." So I thought, well, that sounds good to me. So he decided he was going to do this one, and he told his friends about it, and the New Year came. About a week later, one of his friends comes to him and says, "So how's your New Year's resolution going?" He goes, "It is fantastic. I have already finished 3 boxes of Oreos, 2 gallons of ice cream, and a bag of potato chips. It's going to be a great year," right? I hope maybe your New Year's resolutions are a little more meaningful than that, but I think a lot of times we tend to joke more about the idea of a New Year's resolution than really taking, because, I mean, we make them and then break them in 2 weeks, so why did we even make them to begin with? But there is something scriptural about taking time to look at your life and to see where you need to improve, where you need to grow, where you need to change. And we should certainly do it more often than once a year when we get to January 1st. But I know at this time of year we're often open to looking at ourselves and saying, what do I want to do better this year? And I want to talk to you about something that I hope that you will add to your life this coming year, even before the new year starting today, that you'll add to your life that'll help you grow and be more strong in your relationship with God. And really, it is a key to having power of God in your life. And I'm going to show you that. This morning, if you like titles, I would just call it Diligent Prayer. And this morning I'm going to talk about prayer. And my goal is simple, to inspire you or encourage you, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will convict you that you need to pray. And you're like, oh, there's a normal preaching message. But I'm telling you, it will bring power in your life, and I'm going to show you that this morning. Did you bring your Bibles, anybody? I know we just like to look at the screens, but I hope you brought it. If you did, you can start turning to Exodus chapter 17. Once you find that, put a marker at Matthew chapter 6. You know, the hanging stringy dilly, that's what that's for. You can put that in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go to that later, but we're going to start at Exodus 17 in just a minute. And while you're turning and finding those, I'm going to tell you a story. Okay, when I was a senior in high school, feels like a while ago now, but when I was a senior in high school, I was the senior class president, which basically meant I get to pick out a t-shirt and do a couple other silly little things, not much to that. But the student council invited all of the class officers of each class to come be a part of the student council that votes on stuff that the student body would do. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. I didn't run, but I still get to be a part of that. And so I went to the first meeting. Well, it didn't take me very long to find out that they didn't really care if I was there or really want me there, and that my opinion or influence meant nothing to the student council. In fact, some of them didn't even want us there because we didn't run for it or whatever. And I was really just a tool that they were going to use to say, well, you know, we've got the class officers here. They helped decide this. And I'll never forget, I went to one meeting, and the first one I went to, the student council president stands up, and she says, "So, like, I have this, like, idea that I, like, would want you to do." She said, "like," a lot. And so she goes on and she presents this idea, and I want the class officers to build this float for the parade and all this, and tells us all these things. And she gets to the end, and I really think everyone needs to vote on this or I won't like you anymore. Maybe she didn't say that, but it was something along those lines. And that's what it felt like. And so there's about 30 people in the room, and she said, "So all those in favor, raise your hand." 29 hands go up. All those opposed? Me. I didn't want to build the float. And then I realized that I wasn't there for any reason. This was pointless. What I say is not going to matter. They don't care. We're just little add-ons to the side of the room. And it doesn't make a difference whether I'm here or not. Now, let me tell you something the devil is trying to convince you of in your prayer life. He wants to convince you that your prayers don't really matter because God's going to do what God's going to do whether you pray or not. And that is so not true. And I'll tell you what, if you don't believe that when you pray, it makes a difference, you won't pray. If you don't believe that prayer meetings make a difference, you won't make an effort to go to one. If you don't believe that getting up early to talk to God and to pray to Him is going to change things in your lives, you won't pray. And I've heard lots of reasons people don't pray. Oh, it's boring. I don't have time. All these things. If you really believe it changes things, if you really believe it makes a difference, all that doesn't matter. All that is aside. And we think it's boring. And the only reason we think that is because we don't do it enough. There is such power when we pray. And if we believe it changes things, we'll do it. But if in our heart we're like, well, I don't really know. I don't really know if it does anything or not, you won't do it. There's too many other things to do in the day. But if you believe that it's true and believe it changes things, you'll pray. And so this morning I hope to show you that it changes things. We need to be diligent in our prayer, and you'll see it does mighty things in our lives. We're going to start in Exodus 17. I love reading the stories in the Old Testament. Some of them are just fun to read, really interesting, and this one is one of those. But the Bible tells us that they're also for instruction in our lives. And so I'm going to show you what this means for us. We're going to start in 17, verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men to go out and fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I will stand up on the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites and as Moses had ordered. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of a hill. Now, here's a he with an unfortunate name. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, and his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Now, I want to help you get an image of what's going on here, because sometimes we just read these and we don't picture it. It's really a very cool story and something that will show us, I'm going to show you in a minute, a picture of prayer in your life. There are two very real armies. They are in a field and they are really fighting. They have real swords and shields and shiny helmets. Probably not shiny helmets, but they had all this stuff. There was a real battle. And most of you have seen a movie, you know, where they were fighting like that. So you can kind of get an image of what it would look like. And it's probably even more intense than those movies could show. But there's a real battle between two armies. And Moses is up on a hill overlooking the battle. He can see the Israelites fighting the Amalekites and out in the middle of the field. And I just got to thinking how crazy it was for those people out there on the field, out there fighting. Now imagine, you're out there, here's this army, you're fighting, you know, struggling to win, trying to stay alive, and Moses is up on a hill somewhere, and he raises his hands, what it says, with the staff of God. He raises his hands up, and suddenly you begin to win. I can just picture that, like, a strength comes over you, like, suddenly you're the Incredible Hulk. I mean, it's just like, what? I'm so strong now, and you're beating the enemy. You're throwing people out of your way. You're incredible. You look over, and your friend's like pulling Jackie Chan moves on everybody, and your other guy, it's just all that, you suddenly have all these abilities and strengths, and you're fighting, and you're winning, and then Moses puts his hands down and gets a little tired, and all of a sudden your sword is heavy. And you don't have as much strength, and now your friends over here are losing, and over here are losing, and you're falling back. Moses raises his hands. I'm the Incredible Hulk again. I'm strong. I'm fighting. And all based, Moses raising his hands, putting his hands down, changing the battle. Now, there's something important for you to understand. God was at work in the battle. In this, God was at work on that battlefield. But let me ask you a question, and I want you to answer it. Did God want the Israelites to win? Yes. But the Israelites would not have won if Moses didn't put his hands in the air. God used that act of obedience to bring his power in their lives. Let me ask you another question. Does God want you to have victory in your life? Yes, but God's power won't flow in your life without prayer. That is the act of obedience that he will use in your life to bring his power into your life. You need victory in your life. You need God to move in your life. You need his power in your life. You need to pray. in your life. You need to use prayer, and that will bring God's power in your life. It's easy for us to just kind of feel like, oh, I don't really need to pray. I don't know if it does anything. I wish so much that you could see it like Moses saw. I mean, I don't know how Moses did it, but if it would have been me, I'd have been up on that hill going, cool, winning, losing. I wish what I would have been doing. I don't know what he did, but I would have been, if you could see it like Moses saw. For him, it was clear. My hands are up. We're winning. My guys are beating their guys. When I do this, my guys are being beat. My guys are losing. It was real clear for him. And I think sometimes we don't see it that clearly when we pray. We don't see the difference that it's making in your life. But I can tell you, it is making a difference. And there is power when you pray. Is it a war strategy to have one guy raise your hands and that cause you to win? In the natural, that does nothing. And one guy in the back, I mean, it's like, what is he signaling for? A touchdown? You know, we got him. You know, maybe when they're done, they could do that. This isn't a war strategy, but God used that as power to bring power into that battle. And God will use prayer. You say, well, I'm just talking to God. God uses prayer to bring his power in your life. You know, all throughout Scripture, we see different examples of God using obedience to bring his power into a situation. Where did Samson get his strength? Anybody know? Yeah, I mean, the first thought is his hair, right? Because when he cut it off, he lost it. But here's the thing. His hair did not have magical powers, okay? This isn't, you know, Chronicles of Narnia or something. His hair didn't have magical powers. His hair was an act of obedience. The Bible says that when the lion came to attack him, the Spirit of God came on him and gave him power to overcome it. And it was the Spirit of God. But God told him not to cut his hair. And through that act of obedience, he had supernatural strength. And when he stopped obeying God, he lost that strength. See, it's an act of obedience that brings God's power. Prayer is an act of obedience that brings God's power. God uses obedience to act in your life. Let me give you another example of God acting in your life through obedience. In Malachi 3:10, it says this, "Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Does that sound good? I want so much blessing that God, I won't have room enough for it in my life. So much blessing. But I'm going to tell you, when you find a promise from God, there's going to be an act of obedience to receive that promise, to receive that power. And if you back up just a little bit in the beginning of verse 10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse that there may be food in my house." And then he says that he will open the floodgates of heaven. You see, does God want to bless you? Yes. But there's an act of obedience to bring that blessing into your life. And with prayer, it's the same thing. There's things that God will do, wants to do in your life, but it takes prayer as an act of obedience to bring that power into your life. Samson obeyed and God gave him power. Moses obeyed and gave the Israelites power. When we obey with our tithe, God pours his blessing into our lives. And when you pray, it's an act of obedience that brings God's power in your life. You know, just like the Israelites were fighting a real army, there was actual enemies. You have an actual enemy who wants to bring real destruction and real harm in your life. You see, our enemy, the devil, wants to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. Teenagers, he wants to destroy your family. He wants to convince you that all your parents are just an obstacle and not, you know, there for you and for you to obey and to follow and honor. They want to cause division between teenagers and their parents. They want to cause division between spouses. He wants to cause division in your family and hurt and destruction. He wants to cause it in all areas of your life, financial and relational, and it's certainly with our relationship with God. He would destroy that if he could in any way. There is an enemy that is out to destroy you, and prayer is our act of obedience and faith that brings God's power into your life to stand up against the enemy. We need to pray. Now, if you're taking notes, you can write down these scripture references because they are really, really good, and I like them. If you're not taking notes, you get to memorize it, right? So you should take notes. It's much easier that way. James chapter 5:16 says this, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." powerful and effective. Do you believe that about your prayers? Do you believe that your prayers are powerful and effective? See, last night I was laying in bed and I was praying about something, and just this attitude came into my mind of, you know, I pray for this kind of stuff all the time. It's, even as I'm thinking about preaching this message, I have that feeling of, I don't really, you know, is this? And then this verse popped into my head. This is powerful and effective. When you pray, it is powerful and effective. And you need to believe that in your life. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, you're a Christian, you're called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You want God to move in your life, you've got to humble yourself and pray. He wants to move in your life. He wants to act in your life, but it takes prayer to bring that into your life. All through the Bible, we see it. And we could spend all morning showing you illustrations of someone praying and God acting in the Bible. I'm telling you, it is a powerful thing in your life. If you want to be closer to God, you have to pray. If you want your friends or coworkers to come to God, you need to pray. If you want to live a life of purity, you need to pray. If you want to get closer to God or understand his plans for your future, you need to pray. Well, if you turn to Matthew chapter 6, you can go ahead and flip over there. We're going to stay there the rest of the time this morning. Now, here Jesus is teaching on prayer, and I'm not going to read all of it, so I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 6 and see what all Jesus says about prayer. Not right now, but you know, later in your own time. Read Matthew 6 and see all the things he taught about prayer. We're just going to look at a couple of things. He says, but in Matthew 6, verse 6, but you, when you pray, notice it says when. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus said when, not if. Jesus assumes you're praying. I don't think Jesus ever envisioned a Christian that is going to be not praying. Because you need to pray. He said when you pray. He expects it to be happening. And then there's something else I noticed. There is a time set aside to go into a room alone and pray. Now, the Bible says to pray continuously. To pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. But, and I think that that's a great thing. And we need to pray all the time as we're going through our day. You know, your kids are going out the door. Lord, bless them today at school. Give them favor. You get in the car to drive. Lord, I pray you give me safe travel. You get something. Thank you, Lord, for this meal. Lord, thank you for this. We're constantly throughout our day praising and thinking and talking to God. It's just a constant communication, little prayers throughout our day. But there's also a time we need to set aside to pray, to give this time during my day exclusively to God and focus on prayer, and that will bring his power into your life. Let me just read you a couple scriptures. You don't need to turn to them. I'm going to go through them real fast. Matthew 14:23 says, after he had dismissed them, talking about Jesus, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12, one of those days Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. All through the Gospels we see Jesus getting alone to pray. So let me ask you a question. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more do you need to pray? We need to pray. Jesus thought it was important for him to get alone and pray. He spent all night praying. He's prayed alone. He found time to be alone. If anybody was busy, it would have been Jesus. I mean, he had a lot on his plate. But he set time aside to pray. We need to do it too. Let me give you one more scripture. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now I'm going to talk about something you don't want me to talk about. Getting up early to pray. I know some of us start to, oh man, I don't know. I'm telling you what, there is something special about giving the first part of your day to God. See, there's a principle in Scripture, when you give the first of something, the first fruits of something to God, the rest is blessed. And I tell you, when you give the first of your day in prayer, you're going to see the rest of your day is blessed. And I would encourage you to find some time early in the morning. Now, me and my snooze button are best friends. Mine's worn out on my clock, okay? I mean, I hit that snooze button religiously. But we got to hit it one less time and have some time to pray in the morning. I'm telling you, it'll make a huge difference in your life if you'll do that. Set aside time. You need to find a time, plan a time in the way we live today. If you don't plan a time, it won't happen. If you don't schedule it, it won't happen. Now, I'm not saying there's not spontaneous times of prayer. There should be all through your life. But there are times when you say, this is my time. I'm going to go pray with God. I hope that you'll do that. I hope that you'll find a time for that. Plan it. Make it a part of your life. And you'll see the power of God come in your life. I can guarantee it. You will find it. Now, we need to pray. So how do we pray? I'm going to just real briefly kind of look a little bit at this. Now, all growing up, I've been in church all my life. I have seen a lot of kinds of praying. You got your yellers, you know, that are always calling down fire and stuff. They say it, they only pray loud. They yell every time they pray. And you got your really soft prayers. They're kind of scared to pray, and so they barely talk. You know what I'm talking about? You can't even understand. Are they talking up there? You know, they got real soft prayers and real loud prayers. And you got people that are always using, you know, big words, you know, dear thine most gracious and magnificent heavenly Father, I beseech thee this day. I don't even know what all that means. You know, so just they're using these and thous and talking in King James Version English, and you don't really know what they're saying. And then you've got, you know, all these different types of praying. You know, people have different prayer positions. I sometimes pace because if I'm praying in the morning, I have to stand up because if I sit, my eyes close and don't reopen. So I pace sometimes in the morning to keep myself going. I've seen people that lay down when they pray. I call that sleeping. But, you know, there's all different kinds of places and ways that people pray. And we make it sometimes out to be something complicated. I'm going to tell you, it is just talking to your Heavenly Father and just communicating with Him. And it doesn't, if you read Matthew chapter 6, He'll even talk about it. It doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out thing. It doesn't have to be complicated words and things. It is just talking to your Heavenly Father. But Jesus did give us some instruction about how to pray. There's many times in the Bible where it talks about how to pray and what to pray for. So this morning I wanted to look at what Jesus said to us about prayer. And it's still in Matthew chapter 6, and it starts in verse 9. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. We all know it. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray. And I'm reading from the New King James, so it won't have all those arts and thous and stuff that you might be used to. But our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I want you to understand, this is a template or an outline. You know what an outline is? For prayer. It's not a specific, this is exactly what you need to pray. Now, it says Jesus went up on the mountaintop and prayed all night. I highly doubt that He just said this over and over and over again, right? Or said it really slow. I don't know what. That's not what He did. This is a template, an outline, topics for us to pray. There's other times where there's another prayer of Jesus recorded, and it's much longer. But these are ideas and topics for you to pray. And so I wanted to just briefly go through these to give you a kind of a template, an outline. Break it down a little bit for you on how you can pray. And I do this many times when I'm praying. I'll go through the Lord's Prayer and let it inspire me about things to pray about. The first thing is praise. When you go to pray, the first thing Jesus taught was to praise Him. He said this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Honoring is your name. Power is your name. Awesome is your name. He started His prayer praising God. You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago in Psalms 100, verse 4, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. You want to enter into the presence of God, we enter with thanksgiving and praise. If you want to seek an audience with God, you begin with praise. If you want to get an audience with me, you can begin with praise. If you walk up to me and say, well, I just want to tell you everything I don't like about you. I may be standing there, but I am not listening to you. But if you walk up to me and say, you are just the greatest preacher and the best looking man I have ever seen, you have my attention. I am there. I am listening to every word you say. You begin with praise with Him. And I'll tell you what else it'll do. It'll change your heart. If you begin with praise and thanksgiving and you're praying, your heart will begin to change. I thought about this old hymn when I was thinking about this, the idea of starting with praise. And it says this, and many of you will recognize it. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will be surprised at what the Lord has done. So if you start with praise and thanksgiving, you will be surprised at what God has done in your life. Your heart and spirit will be lifted, And you'll just come into a closer relationship with Him. We need to begin with praise. The second one is guidance and power in your life. We need to pray for guidance and power. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray for God's will and direction in our lives. I'm going to tell you how to be disappointed when you pray. Pray for your will to be done, and you'll be disappointed. You pray for God's will to be done in your life, you will never be disappointed. We need to pray for His direction and His will. I'll tell you what, I pray for God's will in my life. We pray for God's will in the service. We pray that God will move in the worship time. He'll move in the altar. We pray for the sound system. Tell you what, demons live in sound systems. We pray for those things. We pray for all the aspects of it. You see, you take this idea of praying for God's will and you move it into your life. You pray for God's will in your family, in your work, in your business, in your finances. You pray for God's will all through your life and ask Him to show you His will. Pray for guidance and ask for that when you're praying. And then it also says, your kingdom come. I'm going to tell you something. When God's kingdom reigns in your life, when He is king of your life, there is power in your life. And you need to ask God for His kingdom and power to reign in every area of your life. Number three, we pray for provision. We ask, give us this day our daily bread. We ask Him for things and provision and the needs that we have in our life. In Matthew 6, verse 8, it says, your Father knows the things you need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, it says He knows what you need before you ask. And some people take that and say, well, I guess I don't need to ask because He already knows. But then He says, He knows what you need, therefore, ask. He doesn't say He knows what you need, so don't worry about it. He says, ask. Or He says, pray. And he knows what you need, therefore, pray. And we need to pray and ask Him to do that, to move in our lives. You know, I don't know, maybe your house wasn't like this. When I was growing up, we were taught table manners. Sometimes I think teenagers don't know table manners anymore. Some of you, most of you do, by now. You're sitting there at the table, and I remember there'd be something across the table that I wanted, and so I'd reach across to get it. My mom would say, sit down, don't reach, ask. And that's what we try and do in our lives. We're always reaching for things. Oh, I need this. I got to find this. I need to reach for it. And He's saying, you know what you need to do? You need to ask. He said, seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He knows what you need. Ask. You don't seek the things that you need. You seek God. You ask Him for the things that you need. That's what we need to do. We need to ask Him for the things. In James chapter 4, it says it so clearly in verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask God. Can we be more clear than that? You do not have because you do not ask God. And then He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. We certainly don't need to ask with the wrong motives, but let me just tell you, it is not wrong motives to ask for God to help provide for your family. It is not wrong motives to ask for God to bless you in your life so that you can bless others. That is not wrong motives. We need to pray and ask for God's provision in our lives. Say what? See, in America, it's so easy because most of you have got provision for weeks. You've got enough food in your cabinet to last you for up to 2 or 3 months. Some of us. And so it's easy to say, oh, I don't know. You know, some of them in the New Testament times, they didn't necessarily have bread for tomorrow. When they were asking for provision, they were like, Lord, if you don't provide, we're going to be hungry tomorrow. I guess we'll go on a fast. You know, so they needed God's provision. And sometimes it's easier for us to just kind of, I don't really need to pray because I got everything I need. I'll tell you what, we need to pray for God's power and provision in our lives. Then the next one, number four. We need to pray for God's forgiveness and peace. We need to pray for forgiveness and peace. And I'll tell you why I added peace on there. And it says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, if you're a Christian, you've asked Jesus in your heart, your sins are forgiven. I once heard a preacher talking about this, and he said that if you don't confess every sin that you have, then you're not going to be forgiven of it, and you're going to hell. And I actually knew someone that was so scared that he was going to forget something, he kept a list of his sins so he wouldn't... That's something you don't want people to find, right? Your list of sins just sitting around. He kept a list. He was so scared. I knew somebody else. He was talking about how he was worried that someday he'd be driving down the road, someone would cut him off, and he might say something he shouldn't, or, you know, think something he shouldn't, and sin, and then have a wreck and die before he had the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Do you think that's how our Heavenly Father works? No, I'm saying when you ask him into your heart, he forgives you of all of your sins that you've committed and going to commit. But we still need to ask him for forgiveness to help cleanse our hearts. Now, an example I kind of thought of is husbands and wives. Let's say you have an argument. I know none of you ever argue, right? But let's say you have an argument someday, just hypothetically, and husbands, let's say you said something to your wife that you shouldn't have said, and you'll go on through your day, and you know she's forgiven you. You know it's going to go on. It's going to blow over something. And in fact, she has forgiven you. She's moved on. It's not a big deal. And you could potentially just kind of move on and never bring it up again. But let me tell you, the right thing to do is to go to her and say, you know, I'm sorry for what I said. That wasn't right for me to act that way. And I just want you to know I'm sorry. And that's what we need to do. We go and receive forgiveness. Even though she's not going to divorce you for it. She's not going to leave you for it. Let me tell you, your Heavenly Father is not going to leave you and say, oh, you're not a Christian until, you know, you've come and made things right between... He's not going to leave you because you messed up, because you sinned. But we still go to him and ask for forgiveness. I'm going to tell you what Hebrews says. He says that he will cleanse our consciousness from acts that leads to death so that we may serve the living God. See, he will cleanse your consciousness. When you ask for forgiveness, he clears your conscience. Say what, I don't have peace when I know there's something between me and God. When I have sin in my life and I can just see that it just... I hate that feeling I have towards God. And he's forgiven me. But I need to go to him and confess my sins to have peace in my heart between me and God. We need to confess our sins to him. And also when we do that, it helps strengthen us to not do them again. Also, he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we need to forgive other people. And I'm going to say what, it's not always easy, is it? So we ask God to give us the strength to forgive others. And I said we need to pray about forgiveness and peace. I'm telling you, if you're harboring unforgiveness towards people, you don't have peace in your heart because there's anger and bitterness in there. And we need to have forgiveness so that we can have peace in our lives. We need to pray for that in our lives. And the last thing, number five, is we need to pray for God's protection. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he ends with, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want you to notice something first. He ended with praise. He started with praise and he ended with praise. And that is a good model for you when you're praying. It's a great thing to do. And then he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I tell you what, we should begin every day asking God to strengthen us in the areas that you struggle with. The areas that are a temptation and something that you deal with. It's the things that you need to pray about every single morning. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us about the armor of God and all these things that we can use to in our war against the enemy. And the enemy that's attacking us, they're our defense against the enemy. And right in the middle of talking about the armor of God, he says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I want you to understand, praying is part of the armor of God. Why would you go to battle without your sword? Why would you go to battle without your equipment? Why would you go to battle not ready to fight? If you don't pray, you're going into your day not ready to fight. You're going into the battle without your equipment, and you're not ready for God's power to move in your life. We need to pray to bring that in. We need to pray for him to deliver us from those things that we're struggling with. Lead us not into temptation. Now, I'll ask you a question, but don't answer it out loud. How many times have you fallen into the same problem, mistake, sin, over and over and over and over? I always lose my temper. I always do this. I always struggle. And what if you started every single day asking God to strengthen you with that? Say, God, I know this has been a struggle in my life, and I pray you give me the strength and the power to overcome this. Begin to pray and ask him to move in those areas of your life. I want to end with this, and this is what I think is the best thing about prayer. It's pretty awesome. We already read it, but we kind of just skimmed over it. Now I want to point it out to you. Back at Matthew 6:6, it says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray that your Father who is in, or pray to your Father who is in the secret place." Now I want you to hear, catch this. Your Heavenly Father is waiting behind the door of your room for you to come and pray. Your Heavenly Father is in the secret place. He is there, and when you pray, you get to be in His presence and with Him, and He's waiting there for you. A lot of us don't have a, feel like we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You want that? You have to find time to set aside and go into the secret place where you're alone and pray to Him, and you can be in His presence and experience Him, and His power comes into your life. We're not meant to just kind of become a Christian and then live like everybody else. We're become a Christian and then get power from God to live our life. And you, the only way you'll bring that power into your life is through prayer. I once heard someone say that prayer is like water, like drops of water. They say a few drops of water doesn't move much, you know, doesn't do a lot. But if you have a huge ocean, lots of drops of water, it's powerful. It can break through all kinds of things. Now, it's not really a perfect illustration because I tell you, one prayer can make a huge difference in your life. One prayer has the power to change things in your life. But how much more if you have an ocean of prayer? If every day you're lifting, you're going to God in prayer and praising Him and asking Him and talking to Him, and you have that power of all that prayer in your life, we need to just make it a part. It's such a part of our lives that I don't know how we can live without it. We need to set aside a time to pray. You know, I just went through the Lord's Prayer, and you know, even that can become a ritual if you start to make it that way. Well, I've got to do my Lord's Prayer thing. I would encourage you not to do that, but I'm telling you, that's a good start. It's a good guideline, and let your prayer life will change the more you do it. You know, you get better at things the more you do it, and it's not like you're really doing it wrong to begin with. You'll just learn to talk to Him more. The first time you meet someone, it's always kind of awkward. You know, you're talking to them, and you don't know what they like, what they don't like, how to talk to them. But as you talk to them more, you know each other. You can say things to each other without saying it, you know. The more you get to know God, the more you talk to Him, the more you're with Him, it'll just become a natural thing for you. It may start out kind of awkward, but it'll grow in you, and you'll get so much closer to Him. And so I hope that you'll make a time, say, this is my prayer time, and I'm going to receive the power of God in my life. Will you do that? Leslie, why don't you come to the piano? In just a second, we're going to pray. And you know, at the end of every service, we have our prayer partners come up, and we tell you if you have any need that we would like to pray, that you need prayer for, we're here for you. I want you to know, when two gather together, in His name, there's power there. When we pray together, there is an extra special power there for you. And so I want to encourage you that when we're in the service, there is something special here. Don't think, well, I'm going to go up and pray, you know, that thing we do. No, this says it's powerful and effective. And so let's. If you have need, don't pass up the opportunity to have one of these people who love to pray for people, pray for you, and to minister to you and bless you. So let's go ahead and stand together, and prayer partners, y'all can come forward. I'm just going to pray over you. And when I say amen, you'll be dismissed. But if you need prayer and you want God to move in some area of your life, I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity to have someone pray for you and let God's power work in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray for every heart and person that's here today. Lord, that You would speak into our lives, Lord, and let us understand the power of prayer. Lord, that they would see it as clearly as Moses did, that Your power works in their life. Lord, I pray that You would speak to those that felt like they prayed before and it didn't seem to do anything, God, that You would let them know Your power is working in their life. Lord, I pray that You would just cause a hunger and a thirst to pray and to get to know You. Lord, help us to be diligent in prayer. And I thank You for that in Jesus' name.